time is 4 o'clock. This is WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 Bangor. Stay tuned for Radioactive.
Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with hosts Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Today we'll have John Banks from the Penobscot Indian Nation talking about tribal sovereignty and water quality. This Monday, for the first time in state history, Penobscot and Passamaquoddy governors will address the Maine state legislature. But first this.
The national debt. We owe $5 trillion and we ain't through spending yet. But I got the answer to fulfill our endless need. It's a little trick I learned from the Federal Reserve. And if they can do it, so can we. And what they do is Xerox the money. They Xerox the money.
Well, we'd take Daryl Cherney's advice and Xerox the money if we could, but the photocopier's broken, so we're counting on your support at 469-6600 or 1-800-643-6273. Meredith and I started Radioactive a little more than a year ago as an alternative to the corporate media, which time and time again demonstrate their allegiance to multinational corporations like GE and Disney that own them. Radioactive strives to provide a forum for the voices in our community that are ignored, distorted, or downplayed by the corporate media, activists and others who are working to address environmental and social justice issues, people and groups whose messages threaten the status quo, people and groups whose messages may not please the big money advertisers on the corporate media. If you agree that it's now more important than ever to have this forum for those voices of dissent and alternatives, please call 1-800-643-6273 or 469-6600 and make a pledge. WERU's been very supportive of Radioactive, but one of the ways that we gauge how important a program is to the listeners is by how many calls of support we get. And if you call during this half hour, you'll be entered into a drawing for a CD by activist and folk musician David Rovix. It's the Live at Club Passam CD, which you've heard many cuts from played on Radioactive in the last couple of months. So please call. The number again is 1-800-643-6273. Or 469-6600. We won't bug you through the show because we have a very important issue and guest here today that we want to talk to. So please just call those numbers, make a pledge, show your support. Thank you.
Thanks. For the first time in state history, governors of Maine's Indian tribes will be addressing the Maine state legislature. On March 11th at 10 a.m., Penobscot Governor Barry Dana, Passamaquoddy Governor Richard Doyle, and Passamaquoddy Governor Richard Stevens will speak at the State House in Augusta. Last month, the three governors began a series of meetings with State Governor Angus King to discuss a Freedom of Information Access suit brought against them by three paper companies with the support of the state. Last year, the courts decided that the suing companies could use the state's Freedom of Information law to obtain internal tribal documents. The tribal governors, if they continue to refuse, are subject to daily fines and a 1 year of jail time. This lawsuit was launched amidst a controversy over whether the federal EPA or the State Department of Environmental Protection should administer wastewater discharge permits that affect waters within tribal lands. In 1999, as part of a now routine but controversial transfer of discharge permitting authority from federal to state control, the state of Maine made an unusual request to assume the authority over Indian waters as well. And all of the 44 other states making the transfer, the EPA has retained that authority. The state claims that the Maine Indian Claims Settlement Act of 1980 exempts Maine from being required to keep Indian land issues under federal jurisdiction. The tribes have contended that the EPA would maintain stronger enforcement than the state government in Maine's already polluted waters. The tribes have been trying to underline the problems of water quality. And here with us today is John Banks, Director of Natural Resources of the Penobscot Indian Nation. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm sure there's many things to add to this issue. It's very complicated. But if you could just start off by for giving us the big picture, could you talk to us about tribal-state relations from a historical standpoint, bringing up to the present, and how this relates to who regulates water quality?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say thank you very much to the radio station here for inviting me to come in today. We're always looking for opportunities to get our message out there and to educate society in general about the history of tribal-state relations. Our relationship with the federal government goes back to the very earliest times in our history. In fact, tribes are part of the U.S. Constitution. There's a clause in the United States Constitution that's often referred to as the Indian Commerce Clause, which basically says that the U.S. Congress is the only governmental entity that has the legal authority to enter into treaties and conduct commerce with the Native American tribal governments of this country. And the history has played out a little bit differently in the Northeast and the eastern part of the United States, and it's just the way history unfolded. It was due to the fact that the 13 original colonies were in various stages of statehood during that period of time. The agreements, the treaties that were made with the tribes in the eastern part of the country were with state governments. For instance, at Penobscot, our earliest treaties were with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and then again with Maine in 1820 when Maine became a state. Now, because of the requirement that I mentioned earlier about the United States government being the only government that is recognized under the Constitution as having the legal authority to deal with tribes, these treaties between the Maine tribes and Massachusetts were deemed to be invalid. There were some enterprising lawyers that looked at this in the 1950s, and they realized that perhaps these treaties between the tribes and the states were invalid. And there was some court decisions, mostly dealing with the Passamaquoddy tribe, that resulted in the realization that, in fact, these treaties with the states were in question. And when the United States Department of Justice got involved on behalf of the tribes prior to the 1980 land claims settlement, that really ratified this federal-tribal relationship that goes back to the beginning of this country, and that's kind of what led to the 1980 Land Claims Settlement Act. Now, the 1980 Land Claims Settlement Act, I often refer to it as the 1980 Tribal Attorneys Employment Act. There's
no offense, Mark Chevrolet.
No offense to our great lawyers. They're doing a great job. But the Settlement Act has many areas of uncertainty, and there's room for interpretation. And when you, because of the language, the language in the Settlement Act is somewhat unclear on some of these jurisdictional questions. So you take this modern-day treaty in 1980 with this language that has lots of room for interpretation, and put that against the backdrop of the long history and relationship that exists between the federal government and tribes, and you really have a recipe for disaster almost. And that's where we're at right now with regard to this issue of who has authority for regulating water quality within our reservations here in Maine.
Can you just kind of encapsulate, we talked a lot about this just about a year ago, actually. You were here, and two of the three tribal governors were here on another occasion, and we talked a lot about the permitting issue and also the fact that the governors are being held in contempt of court. And then there were appeals filed, and it just seemed to be waiting some word back on certain appeals and a lot of different decisions, and things were in kind of a hold pattern for a while. So can you back us up to what the two major issues are that the court things are about, the NPDES permitting issue, what that means, and also now, the NPDES paper company
sovereignty.
Right. Sure, the NPDES permitting issue.
And NPDES is?
NPDES stands for NPDES. That's the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. That's the permitting structure that's set up under the Federal Clean Water Act by which polluters of our waters are regulated
by the federal government.
Yeah, that
and
applies
municipalities.
To paper companies, municipal discharges, and any kind of sources of pollution that have a pipe that discharges into waters of the United States. So the Clean Water Act in 1970 set up this NPDES permitting process that is administered by EPA, the federal government. And there's a process by which states can assume that authority and take over the NPDES permitting process and run it at the state level. Now, what has happened in 44 other states across the country where these states have gone in for permitting authority under the Clean Water Act, EPA has delegated that authority, but in every case in these 44 states, they've withheld that authority as it applies to federal or tribal reservation areas. And again, that goes back to the federal-tribal relationship that I spoke about earlier. There's been many Supreme Court cases over the years and statutes developed that support this federal-tribal relationship. And there's a thing called the federal trust responsibility where the federal government, because of the treaties and the U.S. Constitution and many Supreme Court cases, they have this trust responsibility to protect tribes and their natural resources.
Which the state government doesn't necessarily have and may be more beholden or influenced by large corporations within the state, perhaps?
Yes, the state does not have this same federal trust responsibility or this responsibility to protect tribes and tribal resources. That rests with the federal government. And the Maine tribes were told that through the 1980 land claim settlement process that these federal protections would be in place, and thereby strengthening the tribe's sovereignty by having the federal government be there to protect us and protect our resources. The whole reason that this federal trust responsibility exists is because in the early beginnings of this country, as state governments were being formed, they were taking advantage of tribes and tribal lands. So the federal government stepped in and assumed the role of caretaker. And so the degree to which that federal-tribal relationship was changed by the 1980 Land Claims Settlement Act is at the heart of this dispute. There is language in the Settlement Act that says that the tribes will have some responsibilities as municipalities, but there's also very strong language in the federal part of the Settlement Act that says that the lands and natural resources within our lands shall be managed and administered according to terms set by the tribes and agreed to by the Secretary of Interior. So when Maine requested to be delegated the entire NPDES permitting program, they included all of the land within the exterior boundaries of the state of Maine, including all of the Indian lands in Maine. And the tribes immediately objected to that. We wanted to preserve our relationship with the federal government that we thought was strengthened under the Settlement Act. And in when the paper companies were supporting state authority over our lands, they filed a lawsuit to use Maine's Freedom of Information Act to access tribal documents and to come onto the reservations and go through our files. And we believe strongly that that's an internal tribal matter, and nobody other than the tribes and the tribal government have the right to determine who can and who can't enter tribal lands, especially for purposes that have to do with water quality, which is very central to the Maine tribe's cultural identity.
And in fact, the paper companies had said that they were requesting internal documents that had to do with water quality. And I think we had spoken last time when we were talking with you that, in fact, the tribes already do share a lot of their water quality information with the state already. You have and some of the studies that you do on the water quality of the Penobscot River, you do a lot of sharing of information. So it wasn't so much that the information that they were requesting for wasn't accessible through other means.
Yeah, we believe the information that they're trying to access is available through other means. Back in the 80s, when we developed our water resources program, we approached the state of Maine and asked to work cooperatively with them. We wanted to set some of these jurisdictional questions aside and get on with business so that we can manage and protect the very important riverine resources within our reservation. So we approached the state of Maine and entered into a cooperative water quality agreement with them, whereby we share our data with them. And that enables them to report to EPA. They're required to report to EPA every 2 years on the status of the waters within the state. And in terms of the Penobscot River watershed, we are the entity that's collecting that data. Now, the paper companies have also use the Federal Freedom of Information Act to get many of these same documents through the different federal agencies, those being EPA and the Department of Interior. And in fact, the Attorney General's Office has also used the Federal Freedom of Information Act. And they've gotten over 25 feet of files of documents sitting in Augusta right now that they could share with the paper industry. And
do we even know why the paper companies wanted this information to begin with? Were they ever forthcoming with that reason?
I'm assuming that they want the information to mount a challenge to the tribe's assertion that the state of Maine doesn't have the authority to run the NPDES permit within our reservation.
So it wasn't so much for any information, but the actual process of requesting and being denied. They wanted to underline.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this isn't really about documents. I think this is really about the state continuing to want to control the tribes, and also that the industry wants to be able to continue to pollute our waters with as little oversight as possible.
And we should mention, too, because people may not remember this, that all three tribal governors were charged with contempt of court and still have the threat of jail time potentially hanging over their heads if they don't turn over these internal tribal documents to the paper companies. Where does that stand now?
Yes, if you could mention where the court case stands now, and I know that now you've been in talks with Angus King about this particular case, if you could tell us what's going on to date.
Right now we're very hopeful that we're negotiating with the state right now to try to resolve this, the NPDES delegation issue. We're looking for a way that that the state of Maine could have the NPDES program, but with adequate protections built in and a good, meaningful role for the tribes in that process. We've had a couple of meetings, and there will be further meetings in the near future, and I'm actually pretty optimistic based on the first couple of meetings. The representatives from the state government seem to be willing to want to work with us and have us play a meaningful role in water quality regulation. They seem to be willing to recognize our unique uses of our reservation waters, which is key to developing a water quality program. The way water quality is regulated under the Clean Water Act is that there's a set of designated uses established, and then standards are developed to protect those uses. And our initial discussions with the state of Maine indicate that they're very, very willing to work with us and recognize our unique uses of our waters.
So this is a potential model, as we were saying?
I think it would be. You know, I'm optimistic. I think this would be a model that could be used in other areas. So I'm pretty optimistic at this point based on the first two meetings that we've had.
Great, and we are slowly or quickly losing the amount of time we have left, and we do want to talk about the three governors speaking before the Maine State Legislature. Could you briefly tell us about that?
Yeah, like was said earlier, this is kind of a historic moment on Monday at 10:30 in the morning. This is the first time that the tribal leaders have been asked to address the joint session of the legislature. And I think it kind of indicates perhaps a new era that we're moving into with tribal-state relations. There's been a lot happening in the Maine legislature this session. I think folks recognize that there's a lack of understanding and a need for education at all levels, and the legislature last year passed the education bill that requires Indian history and culture to be taught in mainstream society. And I think that's a great step forward. So I'm pretty happy about this.
Great. So we just, if we could get some contact information for you, and also mention that there is now a newly forming Maine Coalition for Tribal Sovereignty, which is including other groups and individuals outside of the Indian community to work on these issues. If you could briefly give us some contact information.
I don't have that contact information with me. For myself, you know, my phone number in Old Town, I work on Indian Island. My phone number is 827-7776, and I'm at extension 7330.
And this is John Banks, Natural Resources Director is your title, right?
Yes,
that's correct. Penobscot Nation. And John brought in some music for us today as well. And before I have him introduce that, I just want to remind you, you still have about 2 minutes to call and show your support for independent, grassroots, locally produced news at 469-6600 or 1-800-643-6273. So, John, why don't you introduce this piece that we're about to play?
Yeah, this is a song off from a CD that members of our tribe did here a couple of years ago. It's called The Voices of Katahdin, and it's the drum group is the Keepers of the Penobscot Drum. And this CD is available, if you'd like to purchase it, at The Voices of Katahdin, P.O. Box 200, Milford, Maine, 04461. And the proceeds from the sale of this CD go to support the tribe's annual spiritual run to Mount Katahdin, which we do every Labor Day weekend.
And this is the Medicine Man song.
Great. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.